Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That is the King James Version of Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Two times in two verses, verses 19 and 20, our Lord emphasizes the importance of His disciples going and teaching. We as Christians have a responsibility placed upon us to continue this tradition and this commandment. As has been said many times, and I will say again tonight, Christianity is a taught religion. It is not a feeling. It is not an emotional-based religion. It is a taught religion. We are not born into this world with the knowledge of Christianity. We have to learn it. The only way we learn it is from a study of God's Word. Do you remember when the Ethiopian eunuch was on his way back home from being in Jerusalem to worship, that the preacher by the name of Philip was sent to him, and when Philip came to him, he overheard him reading from the Old Testament scroll of Isaiah. And as he was reading there, the Ethiopian eunuch was having some difficulty. He didn't fully understand what was being said. Verse 34, And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? He was having difficulty with the study that he was doing, and he wanted some help. Philip didn't say, don't worry about it. You do the best you can, and God will understand. He went ahead and taught him on that occasion. Verse 35, Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. That's Acts chapter 8, verses 34 and 35. Teaching is valuable and important in the kingdom of our Lord. And we need a great deal of qualified teachers to go out into this world and to help the masses understand the will of God. Keep in mind that when you read Matthew chapter 28, and I will readily admit that this was primarily being told to those that we would call His apostles. Verse 16 of Matthew 28 tells us, Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. These are the 11 that were remaining of the apostles, save Judas, who at this point had betrayed our Lord. But even though it was specifically taught to the apostles to do this teaching, the apostles were not going to live forever, and they knew that. And it became imperative that the commandment not only be limited to those 11 men on that occasion, but that every Christian be involved in following this command. These men were not what you would say were the scholars of the day by large either. Sometimes people become uncomfortable with the idea of teaching others. They don't feel qualified. They don't feel like they are the ones who can get the job done. Friends, we need to remember these were just common men by large. Fishermen, tax collector. These were individuals who were not the ones that you would expect to be at university teaching. But they were still given the command to do it. And when we get to the point in our lives that we realize God's not expecting us to necessarily be the greatest orators or the most slick-tongued of individuals, then we will understand that that's not what is important when it comes to the process of teaching. The process of teaching itself is what is important, getting out and teaching the Word of God. Some people today want to leave it all on God's grace when it comes to salvation and when it comes to issues of a spiritual nature. And what they mean by that is they simply mean that they want to leave it to God's side and man doesn't do anything, that it's all on the grace of God. It doesn't matter about learning or anything of that nature, just God's grace is enough to sustain us. If we understand the grace of God properly, that's not so bad, but we need to understand the grace of God properly. In Titus 2, verses 11 and 12, the Bible says, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And you can keep going. That's Titus 2, 11 and 12. You see, the grace of God teaches. And therefore, when we say we want to rely just on the grace of God, we have to understand that that doesn't mean just simply leaving it to God alone. We have to learn His will and do it. Christianity is not an inherited religion. It is not a contracted or disease type of thing for a religion. It is a taught religion. Being a graduate of the Memphis School of Preaching, this verse is very familiar to me. Because this is one of the premises of the school. Paul wrote, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." 2 Timothy 2:2. There's the process. Commanded of God that it was to continue on throughout generation after generation. That one generation teaches the next, and that generation teaches the next, and faithful men go on throughout the history of mankind teaching Christianity. One of the problems that exists in our world today when it comes to religious division in so-called Christendom, as people like to use that term, is the fact that many individuals were not taught the truth, and then they went out teaching other people error that they learned, and they teach people the error that they learned, instead of the truth being committed to faithful men, and they going out and teaching that to others. Brothers and sisters, we all have to be gardeners in the kingdom of our Lord. What do I mean by that? The seed is the Word of God, Luke 8:11. You might recall that Paul made the point, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase." All of that planting and watering, by large, comes from the understanding that we go out and teach His Word to others. That's the planting, that's the watering, by large. I want us tonight, with the understanding that we are all to be teachers and to continue this tradition and this commandment, that we go back and we look at an example of how teaching was done by the greatest teacher that ever walked this earth. And of course, you know that that is Jesus Himself. He was the master teacher. While on this earth, He was called by a number of titles. He was even called teacher or rabbi by the Jewish individuals on occasion. They even recognized, even amongst those who didn't believe in Him, that He was a great teacher. He was called that about 40 times in the four gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John on record. Now, obviously, some of them may be the same account, but 40 different references in the four different gospel accounts of where He was referred to as simply a teacher. What type of teaching did Jesus do? Number one. And by the way, since we are to be Christians, hence Christ-like people, followers of Christ, if He taught like this, we should try to emulate Him as best as possible. We say that in various other ways, that we want to be Christ-like, right? We want to be Christ-like in love and compassion. We want to be Christ-like in obedience and faithfulness. Well, we ought to be Christ-like in teaching as well. He's the great example. Number one, Jesus taught with authority. Authority. Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, commonly referred to today as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus did some of the greatest teaching that man had ever heard up until that time or ever since that time for that matter. And throughout the Sermon on the Mount in those three chapters, Jesus alluded to the fact that those in the first century had heard certain things before. "Ye have heard that it hath been said by them aforetime." Remember that type of language? He used it over and over. In other words, you've been taught this way before. You've heard that this is the way it is to be. But then He turned around and He said, "But I say unto you." He taught with authority. He didn't come in there and just build upon something else. He came in there and authoritatively told men what they needed to do. Take a look at Matthew chapter 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, by the way, at verses 28 and 29, and you'll see the point of what I'm saying. Because at the very end of His sermon, this is not in the Sermon on the Mount, I should say, excuse me, but after it has concluded, Matthew records, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine," His teaching. "For He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." You see, teaching wasn't anything new to these people. Scribes had been doing that for years upon years. But this was a different teacher. They didn't come, or He didn't come in there, rather, and just teach them what tradition said or what he felt on the matter. He came in there and bound his will upon them. He made it clear this was what he required for man to be right in his sight. Now, did Jesus speak on his own authority alone? He could have, being God, but the answer is no. Many times, Jesus appealed to scriptures that had already been revealed in his teachings. In other words, he went to the Word of God. In Matthew 21:42, at the temple with the chief priests and the elders of the people, Jesus did not go in there and just rely upon himself being God alone, but went back and used the scriptures to teach on that occasion. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and is it marvelous in our eyes? It is marvelous in our eyes. He taught from Scripture. John chapter 8, beginning at verse 40, he emphasized to the Jews in the temple that truth came from one source, God, and that going back to his word was the way that man should follow and learn and be taught. John 8:40 beginning, but now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we be not a fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And now notice what he says. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. There's the scriptures. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. He did not just go in there on his own authority. He relied on scriptures that taught the truth of God's word that had already been revealed. When we go out today, should we teach with authority? The answer is absolutely yes. Our own authority? No. But when we reveal the scriptures to individuals today, we should not go in there and leave the idea that those are subjective, just suggestions that God has given for man. But rather, that is what God has authorized and commanded and therefore must be done if man is going to be pleasing in his sight. The idea of going and teaching individuals that they can take it or leave it and still be right in God's sight is foreign to the teaching that God wants when it comes to Scripture. We must teach based upon the Word of God with authority. In Matthew 15, verses 7 through 9, one of the great times where our Lord's authority is being shown in His teaching, He comes across and He said, ye hypocrites! Well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines. Notice, teaching for doctrines, not the word of God, the commandments of men. That is not the teaching that God wants done. He wants it done authoritatively from the scriptures. And that is how Jesus taught. And friends, if we're going to be Christ-like in our teaching, that is the way we will teach as well. But that's not the only way that Jesus taught. Yes, he taught with authority, but number two, Jesus also accompanied his teaching or backed up his teaching with action. In other words, he wasn't just full of hot air telling people what to do. He lived it himself. In the very beginning of the book of Acts, in the very first verse of the first chapter, Luke says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Not only did he teach it, he did it as well. He backed it up with actions. If we're going to be teachers like Jesus today, we're going to do the same thing. You know the old saying, practice what one preaches. Now, none of us, myself included, and any other gospel preacher that stands in a pulpit anywhere, none of us who teach and preach God's Word are always going to live it perfectly and practice perfectly every time what we preach. But in a general sense, we should strive to do what we can to both preach it and teach it and live it as well. Jesus lived this out while he was on this earth as perfectly as a man could ever do. Living without sin is an amazing thought when we think about all the temptations that surround us. It's hard for us to imagine that anyone could live the life that he did and never have submitted to that temptation and bring forth sin. But he backed up his teaching about doing God's will by doing it himself. In Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, here it comes, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. There is where the teaching was. But in the latter part of verse 35, he backed up what he was telling others to do, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He backed it up with action. He didn't just tell them, I love you. He didn't just tell them how God wants them to be. He showed them through his actions. That is something we all must do as teachers of God, is back up what we say with our actions. I remember being in school and being told, and Kelly probably remembers the same thing, the old adage that people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. There is a great deal of truth to that. And you can teach them what's right all day long, backwards and forwards, never missing a beat, if you will. But if you don't back it up, sometimes your teaching is going to fall on deaf ears because people don't want to hear it if they can't see it in you. He did what he was supposed to do. He told in Matthew 5:44 to pray for those who persecute us. He does that, or did that rather, in Luke 23:34. Not easy to do when you're under pressure. He taught to be compassionate and to do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. He lived that and did that to his fellow man. He taught that we are to love God first and foremost. He did that. He taught that we are to love neighbor as self. He did that. Over and over again, every teaching that Jesus required of man, he was willing to do himself. He was not a hypocrite in his teaching. When we go out as teachers of God's Word, we need to back up our teaching with the appropriate actions. But Jesus did not only teach with authority. He was not only teaching with action backing up what he said. But number three, Jesus' teaching was motivated by compassion for his fellow man. You remember Mark 6:34, the 5,000 men. The Bible says that he felt compassion or had compassion for them and began to teach them. He took the opportunity, or I need to hold off on that because that's going to come up later. He was willing to see the need and felt compassion. How much do we really care that the ones out there in the world today are lost and needing what we have to tell them? Keep that in mind, friends. They need what we have. They need the gospel. That is the only prescription that is going to save their souls, Romans 1:16. If we don't teach it to them and leave it to others to do it, we are definitely doing something that is a big risk for their souls. Because most of the members of the world today who claim to be Christians are going to teach them something contrary to what Jesus would have taught them. But Jesus had compassion. He looked at them as individuals who were sheep without a shepherd, and he wanted to take care of them as best as he could. Now, yes, he was one who echoed at one time, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. On this occasion, though, he also knew that they had a physical need. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and he was willing to do what he could to give them a decent meal on that occasion. He cared. There are a lot of folks today trying to find purpose in life, hope in life, meaning in life. One of the greatest things we can do when we take the gospel and teach it to them is have compassion on them as we teach them. Even if you don't help them to have their soul saved, at least they will know that somebody out there cares for them. There are too many today who are suffering with mental issues, whatever they may be, emotional, physical, psychological, who needs someone just to say, I care. Not just in word, but truly care. And as we go out and we seek the lost to teach them, let us be motivated by compassion. Now, number four. Jesus' teaching, if we're going to follow his example, was balanced teaching. Believe me, we definitely need sermons on God's love and care. Jesus did that quite frequently. Parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, we call the prodigal son or the 2 sons, and numerous other examples in Scripture, a large part of it, Luke chapter 15 in particular, are teachings that Jesus used to show the love and care of God for man. But friends, Jesus was not just a teacher of just love and care. Jesus was also a teacher of judgment against sinners. And we need that type of teaching too. He also taught parables about the unforgiving servant. He taught parables about the talents and who were wicked and lazy and slothful, and how that God was going to bring judgment upon those type of individuals. You see, Jesus' teaching was balanced. He would teach them about God's love, but He'd also teach them about God's judgment. Paul understood this principle. When he went out as a teacher of God's Word, he tried to do that very thing that Jesus did. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Acts 20, verse 27. Not just the popular type, but all of it. Just like he told Timothy to do in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, when he told him to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Teach it all. The entire word of God, when it's popular and when it's unpopular. That's what Jesus did. Now some might say, Corey, I don't know that I want to follow that, because when Jesus did it, they killed him. Well, if they do the same to you, you're in good company, friend. But that's what God wants us to do. Teach with authority. Back up our teaching with actions. Have our teaching motivated by compassion. Have our teaching be balanced according to the Word of God. And also remember that Jesus also taught, number five, as people were able to hear Him. That is a difficult thing sometimes, because every person is different. I mean, you could have two individuals who both have a PhD sit on this front pew, and they're still going to be different people. Or you could have someone who didn't get past the two people who never got past the sixth grade, who are going to be two different people. And the challenge sometimes as a teacher of God's Word is to try as best as you can to teach them as they're able to understand. Now, as a gospel preacher, that sometimes really is hard in a public setting, when you have a large sum of people, because you have a gamut, a plethora of different levels of understanding and learning. And while you want to feed meat to the majority a lot of times, sometimes you have to back off and present milk. And sometimes when you want to preach the milk or give them the milk, some want to go to the meat too quickly. You'll encounter both of those if you go out and teach God's Word. There are some people who have never become a Christian, but one of the first things they want to do is they want you to tell them everything in the book of Revelation. You ever had that before? You have to teach them as they're able to understand. Some aren't ready yet, but we have to get them there. Before Jesus died on this earth, He tried to prepare His disciples for that upcoming event. In John 16, verses 12 and 13, He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Jesus even said it to His own apostles. He had a whole lot more that He wanted to teach them, but they just weren't ready for it yet. And He couldn't do it. Now, that's the Lord Himself recognizing that He had to teach them as they were able to learn. He could have gone out and He could have thrust it upon them, and it could have been over their heads, and they weren't ready for it, and He could have done all of that, but He didn't, because He understood He had to teach as people are able to learn. Now, I referenced the milk and meat analogy or comparison. Paul did the same thing, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. He said, And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He wanted to talk to them as spiritually minded people, but he felt like he couldn't yet. He said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. You still aren't ready for it, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? Our teachings have to be as people are able to understand it. And keep in mind, as you go to some folks and you start teaching them, you're going to have to sometimes unteach them, if you understand what I mean by that. Because many of the ones we'll encounter today, especially in the South, have already had a taste at some point in time of what they believe was Christianity. Somebody, whether it was a friend or a family member or a preacher, taught them somewhere along the way, and most of them had learned error somewhere along the way. You have to unteach some of them before you can teach them. That's sometimes frustrating, I'll grant you. And it's time-consuming, and it limits you in what you want to do, but sometimes, again, you have to teach them as they're able to understand. Jesus did it. And he's the great example of a teacher, and we should do it as well. We need to start with people as they where they are and take them where they need to be. I believe it was Brother Mosier in school talked about taking people on the journey with you. Everybody has to start somewhere. And when you graduate from the Memphis School of Preaching 2 years after you began, none of us, if we apply ourselves the way that we should, are where we were when we started. And most of us, when we go back out into the world, are going to go back out there with individuals who haven't sat down for 2 years and studied the same way, and they're not ready yet for all that we've learned in 2 years. We've been taught before, students there, that it's almost like we're going 1,000 miles an hour, and some others may be going 5. There's a lot of truth to that. We have to teach as people are able to understand. And finally, number 6, if we're going to teach the way Jesus taught, we have to do as he did, and that was take opportunities when they present themselves. Brothers and sisters, let me encourage you to overcome your fear of teaching someone the truth of God's Word. Because if you don't teach it when the opportunity presents itself, it may never come again in that person's life for them to hear God's Word. You may be the only one in their entire lifetime who may give them that opportunity. And if you don't do it when the opportunity presents itself, they may never hear it. If you're waiting to say, well, what I'll do is I'll invite them and I'll let you teach them. I'll let you preach to them. Friends, you're going to encounter far more individuals in your personal lives than I'm ever going to know that you know. They're never going to hear me preach a sermon. They're never going to hear me teach a class. They're going to listen to you. Jesus taught as he had opportunity, whether it was a formal setting or an informal. When he was in the synagogue, Matthew 13:54, he taught them. When he was daily in the temple, Luke 19:47, he taught them. When he was in Simon the Pharisee's house, Luke 7:36 and following, he taught them. When he was sitting in a boat speaking to people on the shore, Luke 5:3, he taught them. And it didn't matter whether it was a small group or a large group. If it was a large group, he taught them, Mark 2:13. If it was a small group, including 3 disciples, when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17, he taught them. Or whether it was one-on-one with an individual like Zacchaeus in Luke 19, or the woman at the well in John chapter 4, he taught them. When opportunity presented itself, formal or informal, large or small groups, he taught them. And we too should take that opportunity when it presents itself. The Great Commission not only commands us to go, but it commands us to teach. And we have an opportunity many times, as I said earlier, to teach some that others will never have that opportunity to teach. How do I do it? How can I make opportunities? Ask them a question. Hand them a tract. Wonder if they'll study with you and read with you. Whatever it is, take it when it's there and run with it as far as you can. Because, friends, teaching them the gospel is the greatest job you will ever do and the greatest opportunity that you'll ever have while on this earth. Jesus was the greatest of teachers to ever live. We are privileged to be his disciples and to be able to have the privilege to teach what he taught and what he wanted his disciples to teach. And we should strive as best as we can to be teachers like he, who teach with authority, who back up our teaching with our actions, who are motivated in our teaching with compassion, who teach with balance of God's Word, who teach people as they're able to understand, and who take those opportunities and teach whenever they present themselves. Wherever we are at this point in our learning or teaching, we still can teach someone else. Some of you have had me playfully but seriously, carrying on with you lately about extending the Lord's invitation, getting up and preaching a sermon. And I know that a lot of times we'll smile and we'll laugh it off. But let me encourage you to take that seriously and be a teacher in some form or fashion like our Lord was. One of the greatest things our Lord did was tell people how that they could be pleasing with God. He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned or damned," Mark 16:16. That message has not changed in 2,000 years. A penitent, confessing believer tonight can be baptized for the remission of his sins and can go out and take that message to someone else. And by the way, if that's all that you're ready to teach someone is how to become a Christian, you can teach them a lot right there. If you can back up the plan of salvation with Scripture, by far you know more Bible and how to use it appropriately than the overwhelming majority of people on this earth. Teach them. Maybe you're an erring child of God. Maybe one of the reasons you've erred is you've not been a teacher. Maybe you have sat back and let others bear that load and you have not fulfilled the commandment of our Lord to do such. Remember, any command that we disobey, refuse, and reject of our Lord is a sin, 1 John 3:4. We need to repent if we've erred in the sight of God, and we need to confess tonight and pray for the Father's forgiveness. We need teachers. Our Lord taught one time about praying to the Lord of the harvest for laborers in the field. Friends, you could be the answer to that prayer if you'll be a teacher like our Lord. Do you need to respond as we stand?